Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another episode of the Quotivation Podcast, and I am so excited that you are here this week for the 15th episode of the Quotivation Podcast, and we are going to do everything we can to prepare you for the week ahead so that you can begin preparations to win your week. That's our goal for you. That's my goal for you. I want you to win your week. I want you to win those moments during the day. I want you to win a couple of days, and suddenly you've won your week, and you're even closer to the goals that you want to achieve. And that's what's exciting. It's been a little dreary here the last couple of days. I think it's so interesting how the weather can dictate how we feel. We tend to feel dreary, and how many times when it rains, do you hear that person in the office say, "Oh, I sure could have stayed in bed today"? Why? Because actually, we get to choose how we respond to things like the weather, to things like a setback, things like an angry customer, things like a disgruntled employee, things like a miserable boss. We choose how to respond to that. And it takes effort and practice and purpose. It doesn't just happen naturally. Some people, you say, well, they're just naturally happy. Some are, but not all the time. We have to choose how we respond positively in every situation. What is our reaction? How do we show that? What position can we take to make everyone around us feel better about what just happened? What can we do to celebrate the good things that are going on around us? Those are choices that we get to make. So I want you to think about that as we start to go through and prepare for the week ahead. Choose to have a good week. Choose to win your week. And let's get started with the effort of winning our week right now as we take a shot of motivation. This week, our shot of motivation is, of course, sponsored by Amy Real. Amy Real is the real deal in all things mortgage. And if you're in need of a first mortgage, a second mortgage, maybe a mortgage on that investment property, maybe you're looking to refinance, of course, you want to do it right. If you want to do it right, you're going to do it with the real deal. Amy Real from Cross Country Mortgage. Reach out to Amy. Let her know you were quotivated to get your mortgage deal done. Her phone number, 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. You can also email her at amy.real@ccm.com. Real is R-E-I-H-L. Amy Real. She is the real deal for all things mortgage. And Amy's NMLS number is 486-620. And as always, thanks, Amy. All right, let's start winning our week. Let's kick it off with a shot of motivation.
It's time for a shot of motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
Love those wordplay games. And what I mean by that is those questions that people ask you, what's the first thing that comes to mind when I say the word? And then they give you a word. And you just shout out whatever comes to mind. It's so interesting to see the words, the emotions that certain words evoke from us and the differences between those. It's a fun group activity to do. I think of the emotions that are evoked from us that come to mind. The first thing that comes to mind when we hear the word setback. I think for many of us, that's a negative word. We immediately go to dread, frustration, anger. Something is in our way. Something is blocking us from the path in the direction that we want to go. Setbacks are bad. I'm not so sure that that's true. Some circumstances, sure, setbacks could be bad. When there's only one path forward and something gets in your way, then yes. But I would say that the majority of the time, setbacks can be like a guide leading you to something even bigger and better than what was on the path before. Sometimes I think setbacks are God's way of diverting us from things that were never intended for us to begin with, especially when we think about our spiritual journey or our personal journey, our career arc. As we go through life, there are just things that come up where doors close and you have to go another way. And that other way was the way you were intended to go to begin with. And the blessings that are there, the things that you gain, the things that you learn, are so far beyond what you would have had if you'd gone the way that you wanted to go. They're like guardrails on the highway, keeping us on the path that we need to go. Setbacks are not all bad things. They're aggravating. No project manager is going to want to hear that we have a setback, because that's going to mess with deadlines and timelines and project requirement documents and those kind of things. And all of that has to be reworked and redone. But if the setback leads you to something greater than what you're originally headed for, it's absolutely worth it. I'm going to give you an example. In 2008, a gentleman by the name of Brian Acton faced a setback that would ultimately lead to one of the greatest stories in the technological world. See, Brian had worked at Yahoo for 11 years. And in 2008, he applied for a job at Facebook. He had the qualifications. He had everything he needed, had everything in order. He was turned down. They didn't want him. What rejection, what discouragement, what a setback. But instead of letting this rejection get him down, Acton saw this as an opportunity to pursue some entrepreneurial ideas that he had had. So along with his colleague, Jan Cohen, Brian Acton co-founded a little app that had to do with messaging. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called WhatsApp. Now, initially, WhatsApp faced its own share of challenges, and they struggled to attract users. They struggled to secure funding. The app itself experienced technological issues early on, but they didn't allow this to deter them. They persevered. And that perseverance paid off. You see, WhatsApp began to gain traction, and quickly it became one of the most popular messaging apps in the world. It has a simple design. It focuses on your privacy. There's a commitment to providing a reliable service. All of those things set it apart from its competitors. Then, in 2014, 6 years later, after being turned down for the dream job that he wanted, Facebook came calling. Facebook acquired WhatsApp for a staggering 19 billion, with a B, ladies and gentlemen, dollars. Instantly making Acton and his partner Cohen billionaires overnight. He had a dream. He had a dream job that he wanted, and that door was closed right in his face. Now, he could have turned around, he could have went back home, and he could have wallowed in his pity and in the rejection and in the feelings of discouragement and anger. But Brian Acton chose to allow this setback to guide him to something bigger and better. Now, he could have gotten that job at Facebook. Had they said yes, he'd have been hired. I would imagine he would have been making well into the six figures, maybe even into the seven figures. I don't know what job he was going for. Technological jobs pay very well, and he was obviously very talented. But now he's added an additional six zeros or even seven zeros to the end of that six-figure salary. All because he allowed a setback to guide him to something bigger and better, something more powerful, something more rewarding than he could have ever imagined. So the next time you face a setback, the next time something comes up in your week that is throwing you off the path that you thought you wanted to go down, I want you to stop. I want you to think about, where can this lead? Where can this lead me? Allow that setback not to be a source of frustration and discouragement, but to be a guide to something bigger and better that ultimately was meant for you. And that's how you win your week. So this week, as we prepare to head out into the world, choose to have a positive attitude. Choose to see the silver lining in the things that go wrong. On those cloudy, rainy days, choose to be sunlight. And that's your shot of motivation for this week. I want to thank Amy Real, the sunlight that provides powerful sunshine to the Quotivation Podcast, and she is the real deal in all things mortgage. Thanks, Amy.
This has been a shot of motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week. Mindy Lyons, known as the Phoenix, is the embodiment of resilience and badassery. With three children at her side and a lifetime of battles behind her, Mindy is a living testament to the unstoppable force of the human spirit. Battling through the grips of toxic marriages with tragic endings, deep depression, financial ruin, homelessness, and morbid obesity, she emerged stronger, fiercer, and more determined than ever, refusing to be defined by the struggles of her past. She never lost sight of her ultimate goal, to create a better life for herself and her children, and to show others what is possible when you refuse to give up on yourself and your dreams. Through her transparent sharing of her own journey and her practical strategies for success, she doesn't just inspire, she empowers. Mindy isn't just a leader, she's a visionary, a guiding light for those who dare to dream, and a relentless champion for those who refuse to settle for anything less than extraordinary. Whether gracing the stage or captivating audiences through the digital realm, Mindy commands attention with her infectious energy and magnetic presence. But beneath the surface lies a woman of depth and nuance, whose laughter is contagious as her determination to lift others up. Mindy isn't just a name, she's a revolution. A conversation with her isn't just words exchanged, it's a journey of self-discovery, a catalyst for transformation. In a world full of noise, Mindy is a beacon of hope and inspiration, a reminder that no matter how dark the night may seem, the dawn always brings new possibilities. Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, the Phoenix, Mindy Lyons. Mindy, how are you?
Oh my gosh, it feels so good to hear all of that. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. I am doing amazing. I'm super excited to dive in.
Oh my gosh, I am so excited to have this conversation. I love the quote that you sent to us. We're going to get to that. But first, I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, how you use your story, and how that inspires others.
I'm going to try and keep it very brief. At a surface level, I am a solo mom. I have three kids. They're now 14, almost 16, and 25. And I got started with sharing my story, I would say back in about, I don't know what year it was, but I was 21 years old when I became a single parent for the first time. I've been married twice. And I was a very young mom. And that's pretty much when I ventured into the whole sharing your story is actually a very powerful thing that creates connection with other human beings. And I've always been about inspiring and encouraging and supporting. I'm an encourager at my core. So that's kind of where it all started.
I love that because you talk about sharing your story and the life experiences that we have. And the thing about it is that everyone has a story, right? And I love the fact that everyone has a story, because when you meet people, you have the opportunity to learn those stories and to understand not only who they are, but where they come from, what they've been through. Talk a little bit about how you make connections with individuals that may be going through the things that you've gone through or have kind of come out on the other side of that. How does that create a bond with people that you connect with?
That's such a beautiful question. The thing that comes to my mind, the very first thing, is when I was 21, I decided to start using my music as a way of sharing my own personal journey. So, like I said, I became a single parent for the first time when I was 21. My ex-husband was put in prison, and I had a lot of humiliation about my story and the things that I had been through in my life, the things that I encountered. There was a lot of shame connected to it. So I did not want to be open at all. In fact, quite the opposite. It kind of makes you want to go hide under a rock, and you feel like you're a failure. You feel like you're going to be subjected to a lot of judgment, a lot of criticism. What are people going to think of me? What are they going to say? How are they going to treat me differently? And I had already been through a lot of that, obviously, with the circumstances that I was going through. But I don't know. There's always been this thing for me when I've seen other people who have been open and raw about the things that they have navigated. It gave me this spark of hope in my own life. And I was like, wow, you know, they have a lot of courage to be able to share those things that a lot of people would be ashamed of. And so I remember scheduling my very first concert at a very small church, and I put together a format of songs that were meaningful to me. And then between those songs, I would share parts of my story. And I just decided to be open about what had happened in my life. And I remember at the end of the concert, there was this girl that came up to the table to talk to me and get her CD signed. And she kind of pulled me aside, and she was saying that she was going through something very similar, that she felt so ashamed that nobody knew. And she felt completely hopeless. She was depressed. And she said, you know, hearing your story actually made me feel like I'm not alone. There is actually someone out in this world that understands what I'm going through. And I remember that that really shifted something in me, where I get chills thinking about it, because it was like, that was a turning point in my life where I was like, come hell or high water, I do not care what criticism I am subjected to, if me sharing parts of my story can be sort of like that lighthouse for someone else who is out, you know, getting bombarded by wave after wave of challenge and hardship, if it can be something that they can anchor to as a point of hope, and that somehow things get better and I don't feel alone in whatever it is I'm going through, I'm willing to be open about it, whatever the price may be that I pay about that. So that was the very first time that I remember making a very strong connection between being vulnerable and sharing my life experiences and how that can directly impact someone else's life.
I love that, because it really speaks to as well, just kind of the feeling of that I derive just from speaking to audiences and to groups. It's when that one person comes to you and says, hey, you know what, you touched me in a way that I haven't been able to find that light within me for a long mm-hmm. time. And suddenly that light is there, or that encouragement has been given to me. And it's just the greatest feeling in the world. And everything that you suffer through to get to that point, every feeling of inadequacy or that you don't have the pedigree or the expertise to be the one to be on stage sharing that story, all of that washes away. That one person that says, hey, you know what, you made a powerful impact on my life. And it's such an amazing feeling, isn't it? To be able to know that you had a hand in helping someone discover what was inside of them all along.
There's truly nothing like it to me. When I was singing, I'm a very empathetic person, which can be a curse and a blessing. Mm-hmm. So I notice everything. I notice people's body language, their expressions, their what they say, what they don't say. I really pick up on everything. And I think that's really a gift as I'm moving forward into the next phase of my life, which is my soul's purpose. It is a gift, because it's like when you can look out into the audience and you can see, I can see the point of connection where what I say connected with someone. You can see a sparkle in their eye. You can see a change in their expression. You can see a tear run down their cheek. You can see the point where it landed. You can see it. And to me, there's just nothing like that. If it's priceless. I remember when I was navigating even further down the road, you know, that was not by any means the hardest thing I had ever been through. And, you know, years down there, I got remarried again 2.5 years later. And I don't want to, well, we'll just see where the conversation goes, right? But I'm not trying to skip forward too fast, but I did end up in an extremely toxic marriage the second time. And that had an even more devastating, traumatic ending. And I remember just feeling this while I was in that relationship. I can't even put words to it. And I'm a very wordy person, but the hopelessness. And I was not. I'm someone who is generally very positive. I can find the positive in almost any circumstance. I'm very resilient. But the level of hopelessness that I felt in my situation, that I couldn't change it, that I was stuck, that there it was so full of shame that I didn't feel like there was anybody that would even be able to understand or conceptualize what I was going through on the day to day. And, you know, I was someone who was very involved in my church, and it's like you put the smile on. I am not a fake person. I despise fake. I love authenticity, but at the same time, it's like if people understood what I was going through or knew it, I just felt like there, first of all, there's no way they could understand. And especially in the church scene, there would be an enormous amount of judgment and criticism. And so I felt trapped, and I felt extremely and utterly hopeless and completely enveloped in darkness. Like I couldn't even imagine there being a glimmer of light possible at the end of the tunnel. And for me, that is extreme. I mean, depression on the extreme. So, you know, I was seeing multiple therapists. They were trying me on all kinds of different medications. I was an emotional eater, a stress eater, and everything. I ballooned up to almost 300 pounds. And so, of course, that just compounded my feelings of shame and unworthiness and, you know, just feeling like my life was a mess that I couldn't get out of. And I remember what that felt like. So kind of back to what we were talking about, this being priceless, when you can be someone that can breathe oxygen into someone's soul that's feeling worthy and that's feeling, you know, hopeless and helpless and stuck and whatever else, I can't even put words to it. It's the most incredible gift. And even if it's not the thing that completely transforms that person's life, you know, that can be hundreds of people where each person plants a little seed in that soul and that seed somehow gets watered by someone else. Maybe you're the first one, maybe you're number, you know, 78, but you get to be a part of that person's rise, you know, rise above the ashes, which is my, you know, the big part of my story. And thus part of the name where the Phoenix came from. But anyway, I feel like I trailed off there. Did I answer your question?
You absolutely answered my question. And I don't think I even asked a question. I think we were just talking about, we were talking about that feeling. And, you know, I love where the conversation went, because it went to a time in your life where there was this darkness and hopelessness, and you've obviously come out on the other side of that. Talk a little bit about what kind of resilience that took, and how did you pull yourself up out of that deep, dark hole that so many people are in or have been in, even if they don't want to admit it. We've been there. So how do you pull yourself up?
Oh boy. You know, if there was one simple answer to that, I wish I could give it. There were a lot of different components to that. I would say for the person who is at the epitome of darkness, like I was, the best thing that I can tell you is, because I understand what that felt like, and I didn't think that there was any hope, but I had kids, and I really believe that my kids are why I was here. And I'm not saying if you don't have kids that, you know, peace out, you know, check out a life, you know, you're done for. But I'm saying that because I did have suicidal thoughts, and I did have those, you know, very bleak moments where I felt like my mere existence was a waste, where the oxygen that I breathed was a waste. I mean, it was that bad where I felt like it was almost doing people a favor for me to not be around, because I felt like I was just consuming life. I was taking up people's energy, and I wasn't worthy of taking up people's time or energy. That's how I felt.
Sure.
So I understand that. So I do want to give some I guess, a little bit of acknowledgement to that, even though I don't like to stay in that place because I don't think it's healthy to stay in that place, but I also want to acknowledge it. So all I could tell myself when I was in that spot is, and I wish I could give you something tangible, because I feel like when you're in that space, you want to find something tangible. But the only thing that I could anchor to in that time was a hope. Mm-hmm. A belief is too strong of a word, but a hope that somehow this is going to turn out okay. Somehow, you know, I was raised in a very, you know, I guess religious environment, which didn't always serve me well, but I'm going to say that, you know, the whole verse that all things work together for good, even though I couldn't even possibly imagine how that was true. I wasn't even sure if I believed fully that that was true, because that certainly was not my experience up to that point. But I guess I wanted to believe that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to believe that there was hope. I wanted to believe that there could be better days ahead. So there was at least a desire to believe that there was the possibility that things could get better. And that was enough to keep me going.
Yeah.
There was a point where I wanted to be a cutter, you know, someone who cut myself, even though, I mean, I will admit, I used to feel like people who did those things were, you know, kind of like attention seeking types. And then when I got to the point where I was like contemplating those things for myself, even though I didn't actually engage in that, it was the only way that I could think of to release the pain and I guess anger about the things that I had been through in life. And I felt like, why did I deserve this? I felt like I was, you know, am I under some curse or something? Like, why am I having, what did I do? I feel like I was a good person. So why was I having to go through all of this stuff? And it felt like I had been abandoned by God. It felt like I was just, I felt forgotten. So it was the only way that I could think of that I could potentially release some of the pain that I was going through without hurting someone else, because in my core, I was someone who did not want to hurt other people, even though I was going through so much pain. But the therapy and everything that I went through, to be quite honest, and I am not against therapy. I feel like therapy can be an incredibly powerful tool. I feel like medication can be I'm not someone that's going to be on any kind of a soapbox to say, you know, don't go to therapy, don't, you know, whatever. It's like everybody has their own path. And I have zero judgment towards people about navigating that path in whatever way is right for them. For me, I didn't find the medication helpful for me. And I realized later on why that was. And to be completely honest, this is getting off the trail a little bit, but I was asked to go to therapy because a big part of what I was going through in my relationship, which I didn't even know this terminology when I was going through it, but I was married. This is my second marriage. I was married to someone who was a narcissistic sociopath. And I know that term gets thrown out a lot. And a lot of people don't really know the true meaning behind those words, and they use them very frivolously, and they don't actually apply in many, many cases where they're thrown around. But my case, it was very true. And I was going through a lot of gaslighting, and that is a term that I didn't even know at the time, but I was constantly being told that I was the problem, that every problem that was in the marriage was my fault. And, but it was done in a way that people who are very skilled at that, at being that type of personality, being narcissistic, being sociopath, and someone who, like me, was very much an empath, is someone who's very kind, who is very naive, who is very trusting. Mm-hmm. They tend to prey on people who have my exact personality and makeup in order to be able to, you know, control and all that stuff, which I know we're not trying to go necessarily in that direction, but I feel like this can be really helpful for a lot of people, because I know a ton of people are going through these types of relationships or have. So I was told, you know, please go get help, go get therapy. You're the problem. You're depressed all the time. You're not taking care of the kids. You're not, you know, you've just given up on life. You've given up on yourself. You're, you know, all that stuff. But it was done in a way where I was, how should I say this? If you came too hard on me, I had enough, like, just rebelliousness in my internalness that I would reject that.
Sure.
So even though I felt yucky about myself, I was like, hell no, you know? So it had to be done in such a way that was almost like undetectable, because people would say, how is that even possible? You know, sometimes I look back and I was like, how is that even possible? How? And, you know, the whole analogy about the frog in water, which I guess isn't actually the way it works, but it still works as an analogy. there's a slow burn. There's a very slow burn. It never starts out that way. So, you know, somebody might watch this and say, well, if somebody was telling you that all the time, like, there's no way I would put up with that. And it's like, I would say that too, but it never starts out that way. It's done so, it's so microscopic every single instance where you get to the point you don't even notice that it's happening. So anyways, that's why I was in therapy in the first place, was because I was told that I was the problem. And, you know, I was depressed and I was overweight. And I did feel like, you know, I got to the point where I was so low, I was beaten down so low that it's like, okay, Mindy, you probably better go, you know, get some help. And I just didn't really find that was super helpful for me, other than just having an external voice to talk to about the things that I was going through, other than the person that I was married to, which actually didn't, that part in and of itself did turn out to be very helpful, because my therapists were sort of educating me, even though this is weird because a lot of therapists don't, they're trained, do not, you know, just ask questions, help mm-hmm. people find their own answers.
Right.
But thankfully they could see kind of some of the dynamics that were happening, and they were starting to help kind of shine some light that I was being very manipulated, you know, threatened and all those types of things. So anyways, but the therapy and all of that, I didn't feel like was the thing, but it's a component. Mm-hmm. One of the things when I was going through that time, I had gotten started with a company, you know, everybody in their network marketing stuff, you know, I got started with this network marketing company, and one of their requirements was to be in personal development. So you needed to read like 10 or 15 pages of personal development a day. And I'm someone, you know, I want to follow the rules and check off all the boxes and be the best student. And so I started, you know, this was back when I was going through all that stuff and I was extremely depressed. I was seeing those therapists and I got started with this company, and I'm not even here to promote the company. It's not about that. It's because I feel like things are introduced into your life exactly when you need them.
Absolutely.
And so when I got started with that and I started reading these books like Failing Forward and, you know, Go for No and all these things that were about shifting your mindset on different things, that I would say was a huge instrumental piece of me being able to shift how I perceived things, which is a big, like if I was to tell people one thing, it would be focus on, even if it feels weird, even if it feels silly and you're like, this is just a bunch of mumbo jumbo, whatever, you know, I'm telling you, your mindset is absolutely going to be the thing that breaks you or that makes you. And if you feel like your mindset is not in the place that can be solid, you know, like my mindset is hella strong now. It did not used to be, but that's where it started, was reading the books, watching endless. I'm telling you, over the years, I have watched thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of podcasts, you know, like yours, and podcasts like School of Greatness and Maxed Out and Mel Robbins and, you know, different David Goggins, and, you know, I mean, whatever your personal flavor is, but it was shifting my mindset through personal development that initially started that, to where I was like, oh, you know what? My failures actually are tools. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Here I was thinking I was this massive failure of a person for all this stuff that I had been through and the trauma and drama. But I started to shift my frame, my mentality about it. It's like every single person that we know about in history, or that, you know, has become this big name that we're shouting accolades about, like, what? They had massive trauma, most of them, in their past, and a lot of mistakes and tons of failures. So I started to slowly shift my mentality about it, where it was like, my failures are tools. Now I can relate to someone who's been massively depressed. I can relate to someone who's been single, and someone, I lost a baby late in pregnancy, and that was an extremely traumatic situation. So every single thing that I had been through, I now saw as a tool in my tool belt. So yeah, it was a combination of a lot of things, but I would say that the initial thing was holding on to at least some sort of hope that better days can be ahead, because they absolutely freaking will. I'm now having the best days of my life. And I never would have imagined back then that I would be sitting in this position talking and having this conversation that we are today. I would have thought you were crazy if you were going to tell me that. But holding on one more day turned into, okay, another little breath of oxygen that then took me to the next step. And then the personal development was literally rewiring my brain and how I was understanding what was happening in my life and changing how I chose to perceive what was happening in my life, which then changed the trajectory of my life. And it just all, it's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
So that was a very long answer to that question.
But. No, it was a very good answer to that question as well, because I think, Mindy, what I glean from that is that, number one, mindset is key. And absolutely. And I find that helpful for myself when the storms come, and they come for all of us, right? And they're in different forms and they're in different severities, but they still come. And the mindset in how you tackle that storm and how you decide to go through that storm is so incredibly important. And the second thing that I take away from that is that there's no one size fits all. There's no one right answer. And I know it's so tempting to be in the moment where you just feel so helpless and so hopeless to say, someone give me the answer. But the actual truth is the answer is within us. It's within you. And it's up to you to go discover it, because what's going to work for you is not necessarily going to work for me and work for someone else. And so the ability to go and find the answer that you're seeking within yourself, it's internal. It's going back to what we were talking about earlier, when someone comes up to you and says, hey, that was so powerful. I've had someone come up to me after a presentation one time, say, you changed my life. And I said, no, I didn't. I appreciate you saying that, but I didn't change your life. I simply guided you to something inside you that was already there. Mm. And you found it. And I'm honored to have been a part of that guidance, but it wasn't my work that did anything. It was the work that you've just done and the work that you're going to continue to do to find the way for yourself, because I can't tell you how to get out of your situation. And you shouldn't want me to, because I'm not the expert of that situation. You are. And mm-hmm. and so it's such an important message, because so many people suffer in silence and they don't reach out and they don't share that situation, and they're scared and they're shameful and they're afraid that, you know, they're alone, and so they keep quiet. But it's going to take someone guiding you to the realization of the answer is within you in order for you to be able to get out of that. And that's such a powerful message. And I love the fact that you're sharing your story, that you're sharing your message. And I just want to go ahead and say too, that if you're not following Mindy on Facebook, let me tell you something, go find Mindy Lyons, MindyLyons. You can also do facebook.com/TheMindyShow, all one word. And it will take you right to her Facebook posts that are so inspiring. And one of the things that you talked about in one of your recent posts, Mindy, is your mission. And you've touched on a lot of what your mission is, but if you could encapsulate that into just a couple of sentences, what is the mission of the Phoenix?
Would this be a good time to talk about that name?
I would love to hear about that name. Absolutely.
And also, I feel like the quote blends in to mm-hmm. this, if it's okay to bring that up.
Let's move right on into that. That'd be great.
Awesome. Okay. So I love the theme of the Quotevation podcast. Love the idea of the quote. And the one that I feel like there's so many good ones, but one of the ones that I'm constantly hammering in so many things that I do and so many conversations that I have is, here's the quote. It is, your story can be the key that unlocks someone else's prison.
Mm, wow.
So that, I don't remember where I heard it. I've tried to find who the original person is. I honestly do not know. But that quote, the first time that I heard it, was so powerful to me. Because as I said earlier, how I felt imprisoned.
Sure.
And I felt like there was no way out. Yep. And so if you can imagine that, you sharing your story, us coming on these platforms and being raw and real and putting our cards on the table, as hard as it can be to be that vulnerable sometimes, if you can imagine that there's somebody that's locked up in their own, like you said, their silent suffering, and then you coming on and you sharing your story. And I visualize these things because I'm big about visualization and metaphors. And I can see this key almost like coming at, it's like out of your mouth and like flowing into that other person, this key that's like, it unlocks and it's like sets this person free.
Yep.
It sets, I imagine, literally like baggage falling off and burdens falling off and weight coming off. And like, I imagine light being infused over this person. And I'm an emotional person, so I'm going to try not to get emotional about it. But it's like, I don't know of anything more powerful than to be able to share the parts of yourself that you may have shame about or feel like you want to keep hidden. Until something is exposed to the light, all it does is it stays in darkness, it eats at you. It can create even more of a prison that compounds. And it's like, as soon as you're able to bring something to the light, for one thing, you know, my fears of being rejected, scorned, criticized, you know, how people would perceive me, all that stuff. Yeah, some of that happened. Yes, I was betrayed by some of my closest friends, family. I lost people. I was heavily criticized. But my perspective now, and that was very hard to go through. It was extremely painful, but there have been so many benefits that have come from that. So much benefit that has come from the resilience I've built, the thick skin that I've built. It's like you get to the point where it's like, okay, people can almost throw anything at me because, you know, when you've been through it all, it's kind of like, okay, next, you know, it's like, you get to a point where it's like, okay, you know, say what you want. I realize people can say what they want. People believe what they want. They can say complete falsehoods and people can believe complete falsehoods as if they're true. And it's like, you have no control over that. But anyways, so that is the quote that I picked. And the Phoenix came from, so after my second, you know, I ended up a single parent overnight in 2016. And this is getting to the criticism part. So the person that I had married turned out to be a criminal. So if you want to criticize me and say I married two people who ended up being criminals, and we could get into a whole conversation about that, because people would be like, how is this possible? Lightning struck twice. They were very, very, especially the second one was a very, very awful, awful situation that I won't go into the details about, but it's like, you could trace back, how did this happen? And I had a lot of self-judgment. Like, how does this happen? How could someone like you, you know, whatever. So, after that happened, you know, I used to volunteer at my daughter's high school and I love the youth. I'm very passionate about the youth. And so I was working in the concession stand at one of my daughter's basketball games. And this high schooler, one of her friends, walked up to the concession stand. And he's like, hey, Miss Phoenix. And I was like, Miss Phoenix, where did you get that? And he was like, you know, because you rose above the ashes. And so it just kind of became this thing where I was like, Miss Phoenix or the Phoenix. And people, as I would share posts on Facebook or in social media, and more people would come into my life, they're like, you're like a Phoenix. You're like a real life Phoenix. And so that's where I got the Phoenix. And it's like, there's one word that could encompass my story and who I am and how I identify. You talk about how I identify as a Phoenix. That's how that came about. And I am so sorry. I don't remember what your original question was.
It's okay. We were actually talking about the quote, and yeah. It's so, I love that story that the name actually came from, you know, it's kind of the out of the mouth of babes, right? I mean, children, yes. Teenagers, yep. They can be so honest and they're so smart and observant that usually their assessment is spot on, because it's not clouded by, you know, it's not clouded by bias or, you know, fear of self judgment or should I say that? They just say what's there. And it
was so cool, because it's like, that was the perception. It showed me how I was perceived, where I had been through so many attacks, and yet his perception and the perception of so many since then have been, you know, that no, you're a warrior, you know, you are your own superhero. And that's a big part. That's what it was. See, now we connected the dots. It was about the mission. You asked me about the mission. So, you know, a lot of people take guest opportunities because they're wanting to promote something. And this has been a little bit tricky for me because there wasn't something specific. You know, I don't have a new book out yet. I'm planning on hopefully putting one out this year. And I'm not trying to promote any specific courses or get anybody to sign up for anything. It really is And this might sound a little delulu, but whatever, you know, I know I'm an odd duck of a person. I'm weird. But ever since I was a youth, I would have these, I could call them visions. It's just kind of like things that would come to me that were projections of what my future would look like. So I saw myself, even back then, on stages in front of, you know, hundreds, thousands of people, sharing my message, sharing my music. And it was like I would repeatedly get these, I call them visions because I don't really know of any other way of describing it, but basically just kind of showing in your mind's eye or even in dreams and different things what I was put here to do.
Right.
And the impact that I was put here to make. And so I always knew that I always had this sort of like baseline knowing. And in fact, that was something that would for sure help carry me through different times was like, okay, I know that it can't be, this can't be the end because it's not good yet. And I know that there's a good ending to this somewhere. So if it's not good, it's not done. The story's not over. So I just kind of would continue on throughout life, just sort of like anchoring back to this, what I felt was almost like a promise that, okay, your story isn't finished. It's still in development. And over the past few months, I've been getting this very, very strong, I'm very spiritually attuned. So I'm very intuitive. I'm very strongly connected to my intuition, which is a huge part of what I talk about, because that was my gut was something that I was almost like conditioned to not listen to. And that is a big revealing thing about a lot of the stuff that I've navigated in my past. It's like the gut was talking to me and I was trained not to listen to that. So that's a huge part of it is like now I've reconnected. I'm very strongly connected to my gut, my intuition. And I often talk about spiritual guidance. I'm very spiritually connected, you know, and I have a very close spiritual connection, even though it looks very different than what I was brought up with. So I just had all of this, you know, spiritual messaging coming into me over the last few months that it's time. It's time for you to start sharing your story with the masses. It's time, like everything that you have been that's been spoken into you over the years is now coming to a head. And basically that I was in that state of preparedness to be able to begin sharing my story on wherever, you know. Yeah. So that's the thing, something that you talked about earlier, where you were talking about how people have the answers inside themselves. And for one thing, one side little note I was going to say is I feel like it is appropriate to give you some sort of acknowledgement because you showed up, you said something, you shared something. And if you hadn't shared something, yes, it comes internal to the person. But if you aren't sharing the thing, it's not to say that they can't get it, but you were instrumental in some way. And I love that you gave credit back to her. But we do have to I feel like we have to salute people who are, you know, showing up and doing what feels authentic to them. But anyways, I feel like I got sidetracked again when I was saying that. We were talking about the mission. So yeah, my mission was given to me to just show up on any platforms that feel aligned. And I always evaluate opportunities that come to me through that intuitive, you know, whether I get an intuitive hit, like, yes, this feel, I can just feel it in my body. I can feel it through my spiritual guidance that this is something for me to do. So my mission really is to be a literal symbol of women's empowerment, of being a champion towards women being able to speak their truth, to share their voice, to challenge their own narratives, and also to really shed more light on things that are hard to talk about, being someone who's willing to talk about the hard things and to be able to help infuse inspiration, you know, encouragement, support, helping people tap into the power that they do have. A lot of people have been feeling powerless, and it's like you actually have so much power, you don't even realize it. And I have a gift of being able to call out people's greatness and be able to really help them feel seen and valued and help them connect to the worthiness that is innate. It is unshakable. It is not depending on anything external. And I'm so passionate about helping people be able to see their value, because that's one thing that I did learn is that people who have a sense of unworthiness or who have a lot of insecurity are a lot more subject to a lot of things that I went through. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just very passionate about being able to infuse people with hope and encouragement, inspiration, But not just that. I'm not here to just to be like rah, rah, rah. I'm giving you an exciting, you know, speech that'll hopefully make you walk away feeling like excited, but then it like dwindles down. I also want to be someone who can be like, okay, so let's talk a little bit deeper about this one thing. What did you realize? And then I can kind of share more of the, I guess, the micro things about my life and how I navigated certain things. So, yeah.
It's the practicality of it, right? I mean, it's one thing to be motivated. And some people say, well, motivation is great, but it lasts till about you reach the exit. Yep. And I love what Zig Ziglar said. He said that some people say that motivation fades. Well, so does bathing. That's why we do it every day. Right.
Exactly.
And so you have to find your motivation every day to continue down the path. But then there's also these practical things that we can provide that you can actually apply to your life. And that's one of the things that I love to do with this podcast. I like to talk about how people can win their week. How do you win your week with something you've heard in this episode? And there's so many things that I think you have discussed here today that so many people will resonate with and will be able to apply and win their week. But when we think about sharing your story can be the key that unlocks someone else's prison. How can someone today that's listening to this podcast take that quote, apply it to their life, and really move themselves forward to win their week? What does that look like for you?
Well, there probably some people won't like my answer to this, but I think vulnerability is something I'm so passionate about. And vulnerability, the word itself, a lot of people can feel triggered about because it's like it there gives feelings of being exposed. It's like, I know this sounds like an extreme way of saying it, but it's almost like sometimes when I write things on Facebook, I literally feel like I'm standing on a stage naked showing myself to everybody because it's like, this is super uncomfortable for me to share with you. And I'm not saying that you have to be that level of, you know, knees knocking because you're sharing this thing. There are different levels to showing up with your story in different ways. So I would just encourage people to, if you're hearing this, I'm a big believer that you would know internally, there's something tugging at you. Most people, when they hear something, something will immediately come to mind is like, oh, I have been feeling like I should share this thing, or I have this experience that I've been through that I really do, if I'm honest with myself, I know that I could share it. It doesn't mean that it has to be on a public Facebook post or something like that. It could be, you know, you're in the break room with a coworker and maybe they say something and you can just kind of piggyback off of what they said and tell me more about that. And maybe there's something that you can share. To give them some encouragement and support. So there's so many different ways that we can do that. I just really want to challenge people, do something that is at least a little bit uncomfortable, because that is the best way that I've developed my resilience, my mental fortitude, the amount of courage and confidence that I have built has absolutely come from sharing things or doing things that had a level of discomfort. And it, like, again, it doesn't mean it has to be the extreme level of discomfort. It could be a little bit discomfort. And then you can do it in different formats. Sometimes in a Facebook group is a little bit more comfortable than just blasting it on your wall. Sometimes doing it to, you know, a close friend that you may share something with and just sort of test the waters out and be like, you know, I would like to be able to practice being, you know, a little bit more vulnerable and transparent, and you're somebody that I feel safe with.
Mindy, I want to go on for the next 4 hours with more conversations with the Phoenix. Unfortunately, I think we're running out of time. I want to thank you for being on the Quotivation Podcast. Thank you for this quote, sharing your story can be the key that unlocks someone else's prison. You have so many powerful stories that you have shared. I want to thank you for sharing your story with us, sharing your story with the world. You are absolutely making a positive impact on so many people. And I'm so grateful for you to share your story and for you being on the Quotivation Podcast.
It is my honor. Thank you so much. And I want to acknowledge you for what you are doing to spread stories of inspiration, encouragement to others. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Mindy. I appreciate those kind words. And I appreciate you being on the Quotivation Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Phoenix, Mindy Lyons, on the Quotivation Podcast, delivering a powerful, powerful quote. Sharing your story could be the key to unlock someone else's prison. And I want to thank Mindy for bringing her story to the Quotivation Podcast. And hey, if you've got a few more minutes, why don't you stick around? Because it's time for a little dessert. It's time for the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
Sharing your story can be the key that unlocks someone else's prison. It's so important to feel like we're not alone, that there is someone that can understand the circumstances that we're going through or the situation that we're facing. Sometimes depression separates us from those we're connected with. And we have to be reminded that there are those who listen, care, understand, who have been there, who have come out on the other side. And so as we think about the fact that everyone has a story, you have a story, I have a story, and it's up to us to decide whether we want to share that story or not. But when we share our story, a couple of things happen. Number one, we open ourselves up. We are vulnerable. Mindy talked about that feeling of just being completely exposed as you share your story. And there, and all of us have things within our story that can sometimes make us feel shame. We can be ashamed of some of the things that have happened, some of the decisions that we've made. Sometimes we can be ashamed of things that have happened to us that are, there's no fault of our own, but we still choose to shackle ourselves with shame. And it helps to hear a story. It helps to hear from someone that knows, that's been there, that's experienced something similar. Now, the only way we're going to hear those stories is if those stories are shared. And so the importance of sharing your story for someone else and hearing other people's stories for you, that's what it means to pour into someone and to have someone pour into you. Because at the end of the day, whatever the solution is, whatever you're facing, the solution is not found in their story. It's found in your story. But in order for you to find that solution within you, sometimes we need that motivation. Sometimes we need that feeling of support, that I'm not alone. Someone understands. And when we hear their story, we are motivated, encouraged, inspired to find a way out of our situation, to find a solution to the problems that we're facing. So share your story. Share your story, because you never know when it is the key that unlocks someone else's prison. Powerful quote from Mindy Lyons. I want to thank Mindy for being on today. The Phoenix. And I want you to check out in the comments below her social media handles. And definitely, you're definitely going to want to friend her on Facebook. You're going to want to keep up with Mindy. She's going places. She's doing great things. And it was a privilege and an honor to have Mindy on the Quotivation Podcast. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring our shot of motivation. And I want to thank you for listening. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, send this to someone that needs it. Allow them to share in these stories so that they too may experience what it's like to hear stories from someone who has been through some things similar to them. Share it with someone that you think, hey, you know what? You've been through something that you need to share. People need to hear your story. So that can be an encouragement, motivation, and inspiration for people not only to hear stories, but to share their own. No one has a story that's irrelevant. No one has a story that's not worth sharing. We all have something to contribute. It's time for us to be vulnerable. It's time for us to stand up and be heard. It's time for our story to serve its purpose. And I hope you're able to do that this week on your journey to win your week. That's all the time we have for the Quotivation Podcast. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.